Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. The glitches are practically gone from the website where people can sign up for health insurance. That's seen as vital to the success of the Affordable Care Act, but those responsible for signing up people are still working to make sure everyone without health insurance enrolls by March 31st. UW Extension Director for La Crosse County, Mary Meehan Strube, talked with Tricia Wavra. She's the Assistant Consortium Manager for the Western Region Enrollment Network, which is working to get people in the area signed up for health insurance. Dana Roble is La Crosse County Certified Applications Counselor, and Michael Richards is Executive Director of External Affairs for Gunderson Health System. Mary asked Michael Richards what happens to someone who is eligible for the new insurance but chooses not to enroll.
Well, if you're eligible to apply and you don't apply, two things. One, you will be putting yourself at risk of not having insurance if anything were to happen. But from the government side, you are at risk of having to pay a fine for not carrying coverage. And right now it's $95 per person, per adult, and $47.50 per dependent or child for a family total of $285 that the IRS would take out of your payroll if you pay in.
That's a minimal or a low amount for a fine. Do you expect many people to choose that over having to purchase health care?
Well, that's one of the concerns that's out there is why would as we say, the young invincibles under 34 years old pay for a full-scale health insurance plan when they just would have to pay a fine. And some of the people who would have to pay the fine ultimately may not have a tax liability enough to have the IRS to take any money out. So it remains to be seen whether or not it's going to be an effective way to encourage people to purchase insurance.
But I would expect that the risk is something happens, you need health care, and you don't have insurance and maybe not enough funds to cover it.
Right. That's something that we're going to see. People who roll the dice may end up having more debt long term because at the end of the day, they're going to have to pay their bill.
Well, there's been lots of hype in the news about the numbers of people that need to enroll, some that have enrolled. Where are we here in La Crosse County with enrollments and within the Western Region area?
We are approximately, the last time we calculated, about 1,500 individuals we have helped sign up to choose a health plan. That's not including our approximately 3,000 individuals that potentially may be losing their Badger Care as of April 1st because of the federal poverty level changes. So we continue to do enrollments and try to get the word out to get as many people in here before March 31st as we can in order to get them signed up to choose a health plan.
How many are you expecting to lose their coverage come April 1st and need to have to transition to a health plan?
What we have so far is approximately 3,000 in our eight-county consortium that will be losing their Badger Care coverage.
Yeah, but on top of that, we're going to have new people that are going to be getting Medicaid coverage that haven't had that, and you know, just identifying those people on the wait list is going to be, I think, important to offset some of that risk of maybe not a 100% enrollment from the people losing Badger Care.
Are we reaching everyone that you can?
We are definitely doing our best. You know, we've had a Western Region Enrollment Network. We've coordinated with, you know, many different places through our eight-county consortium. We usually meet on a weekly or biweekly basis. The media has been great and been involved in getting the outreach out there when we have mass enrollment events, which we've had throughout most of our eight-county region, and we'll continue to do those up until the end of March.
And this is kind of uncharted territory. I mean, we've never had to do this before. I mean, there has been major enrollment for Badger Care expansion in the past, but with people losing coverage and not only having to get them signed up but get them to understand health insurance has been a struggle. But I think we've done a great job. We haven't had any navigator funding really in this region, so we've had to do this on our own, and I think that's a testament to our community and the different organizations in our community that have kind of pulled together and tried to find the right solution for the people.
The goal was to make sure that young people signed up, but I understand when you listen to the media coverage, you know, across the country, that the 50 to 64-year-olds far outnumber those that are in that younger age bracket. And why is that?
Well, I think there's a couple different reasons for that. One is the people who are 50 to 60 have historically had a little bit more experience with health insurance. They're getting closer to retirement. They also understand the financial implications of potentially not having insurance. So I think that that plays a role into it. And the 34 and under crowd, again, the young invincibles, it's why would I pay for something that I'm not going to use? Because, right, I'm completely healthy and nothing's going to happen to me. And I think that's the difficult message to deliver. The people who have deemed eligible for subsidy and those people who are 50 to 60 have understood this, I think, through the marketplace and have gone through and signed up at higher rates. And so somehow we're going to have to get into those people's minds that it's important to have insurance.
Are you finding the same is true in the La Crosse area, that it's more of the older ages or those that have more years than those who are younger?
I think that initially it started that way. In some of our recent enrollment events, we have seen definitely more of a variety of ages. So we are starting to see some of the younger populations start to come in. Especially the more we're, you know, working with some of the colleges and area schools to get the word out. Many volunteers working at some of the colleges that are spreading the word. So we've definitely seen a little bit of a change. So that's been helpful.
Will that mean the success or failure of the Affordable Care Act?
Well, I think that's too early to tell at this point. But I think when you have just from a standpoint of doing the math, and you have people who are potentially utilizing health care much more than the people who are not, and the people not on the marketplace that are meant there to be there to help offset the subsidy, I think it's going to be very difficult to make it work. I mean, for the long term, it's because what the driving force of the whole exchange is the subsidy, and you need people to pay the subsidy, and you need people who are not going to use health care still to pay in.
And so ultimately, it probably will affect the future cost of health plans then.
Well, I think that's one reason, but when you can't really underwrite who's on your health insurance plan anymore, understand what their needs are, other than maybe your smoking status, but really not much there as there had been in the past. So it's kind of a guesstimate as to who's going to be coming on, and that's a lot of risk to take on.
As you indicated, we're in the last month of and there's probably going to be a big push and maybe a rush for people to enroll during the month of March, because April 1st is not too far away. What happens if it gets to be April 1st, April 15th, and I haven't signed up for a plan?
Well, what's going to happen is, unless you have a life-changing event, you would not be eligible to apply through the marketplace until the next enrollment, which would be in November of 2014, in order to receive coverage starting in 2015. So unless you have a life-changing event, you go below the 100% of the federal poverty level and may be eligible for Badger Care, they're going to be out of insurance unless they look for private insurance.
So I would be able to sign up or register for Badger Care or Medicaid after April 1st and be eligible for it?
Yes.
Okay. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Mary Meehan Strube, and today I'm talking with Tricia Wavra, who's the Assistant Consortium Manager with Western Region for Economic Assistance, Dana Robel, a La Crosse County Certified Applications Counselor, and Michael Richards, Executive Director of the External Affairs at Gunderson Health Systems. So we've talked about April 1st. It'll come, it'll go, people needing health care. But in this last month, there's probably going to be a lot of people that have lots of questions. And Dana, I know that you've been involved as a certified applications counselor. What's it like when you meet with someone who's trying to work their way through the system and purchase health care?
Well, the first thing that we like to do is get a good understanding of their circumstance. That's the first question we're going to ask. Do you have insurance? Have you had insurance in the past? Do you understand how it works? At that point, we take them through the website. You know, this is a great opportunity for people who haven't had insurance before, and they, you know, maybe they don't know what they're eligible for. So it's a great opportunity for them to sign up and get in with a plan.
Painless?
Sometimes. Sometimes not so much. But we're here to help, so.
Mm-hmm. What made you decide that you wanted to volunteer and be a certified application counselor?
Well, it was more of a, for me, in my circumstance, I'm working part-time, so for my circumstances, this worked out great for me, but it's just a wonderful way to help people and help people understand mostly how this is going to affect them. So,
and when you serve as a volunteer, roughly how many people do you work with in a day?
It depends, because sometimes it could take an hour. Sometimes it could take 20 minutes. Sometimes it could take 2 hours. Mm-hmm. So in a given day, it could be anywhere from 3 to 4 people.
So in essence, it's personalized care to help people look at the health plans that are out there, see what's going to provide the kinds of coverage that they need, figure out their costs, and
absolutely,
possibly get them enrolled?
Absolutely. It's all based on your circumstances and what you want, what you need, what you can afford. And those are all options that we look at.
Tricia, how many certified application counselors do you have in this area?
For the Western region, we have 6 full-time. We had 8, and 2 of them took positions elsewhere. So we have 6 full-time within our 8-county consortium. We also have a high majority of volunteers that have been wonderful working with the community and coming in and outreaching at different sites that to help people. And actually, Dana is one of our certified application counselors that is also does our Badger Care. Okay. So she's not a volunteer, but she's one of our employees. But she works very closely with our volunteer staff, and it's been just a great community effort and all the people that have come to help and get the word out.
Mike, you talked about, in some ways, this is a risk for our medical institutions, not, you know, as you look at the health plans that are out there and not necessarily designing plans specific to people, but for a pool of candidates and hoping that we get more young people to offset what might be increased health care costs for our older population. How the Affordable Care Act will affect charity or uncompensated care that medical facilities have provided in past years?
I think it's too early to tell. I mean, on one hand, yes, there's risk out there, but this is also an opportunity. We've had a lot of people who have come through our door who have not had access to coverage in the past. Maybe they've been turned down for coverage. So this gives them an opportunity to get subsidized health insurance. So that, I think that's a good thing. And plus, we're getting them through the correct door. Not through the emergency room. They're going to have a primary care provider and things will be covered. But in terms of charity care and uncompensated care that may come through the door, we're not going to turn anybody away from getting care that they need. But we believe that there will be people who may have missed the deadline that are going to come in. And I think that's why we've invested so much time and energy and working on this to make sure that people knew that the resources available. And it doesn't matter if they come here or to our competitor in town. It's just, this is a community thing. And I think getting people into the right door, the right care, and understanding the options that are available is very important.
Now, you also have certified application counselors at Gunderson mm-hmm. Health System and at your outlying clinics as well, correct?
Yeah, some of our outlying clinics have certified application counselors. Most of the people that are coming in feed into Gunderson Lutheran Medical Center down on the south side. But we are in a unique position because we serve patients from 3 states. So, and all 3 have a different kind of format for not only their Medicaid program but for the private insurance. So we've had to train people for Minnesota, we've had to train people for Iowa, and we've had to train people for Wisconsin, just trying to make sure that we have options available.
What was the biggest challenge with that, since you have three different states there?
I think the biggest challenge was making sure everybody was taking the appropriate test, getting when there was problems with the marketplace website, getting our folks the ability to take the test and be counted for that, because we can't just help people, we have to actually be licensed to do that.
Mm-hmm. And are there any numbers available in terms of people who have signed up for the health plans through Gunderson?
Well, Gunderson Health Plan had our first time we've ever had an individual product on the marketplace, and I think that's been successful for us. I mean, we feel like we have over 2,000 people that have signed up for that plan. A good majority of them are getting a subsidy on that plan, and I know nationally we don't know the numbers on how many people have paid, but our rate has been pretty good in terms of that. So people are getting on, they're paying, and I think that they're going through the right channels in terms of their health care right now. So that's good for us.
Mm-hmm. Now, I recently was at a meeting where another agency representative had been working with some individuals who had limited resources and had said that the health plans, when they looked at them and had worked through them, they thought that they were going to be too costly for them. Do you find that as you work with people and looking at plans that they find that they're going to be too costly for them?
It's looking at when people are 400% and below that there is premium tax credits that they may be eligible for. And the ones that we've seen that are under that percentage it's been great. I mean, there's been very affordable health plans that they've been able to choose. Mm-hmm. So for the most part, a majority of the people that we've seen have walked away very happy with, for one, just having insurance, and two, getting those premium tax credits and able to help pay that monthly premium.
I questioned if they had looked but then not done the whole calculation of costs to determine if there was a tax credit or a potential subsidy available to them.
Absolutely. Yeah, because you can look online at the different health plans, but until you go in there and you take a look and work your way through the application, it will give you, before you even pick a plan, you'll be able to see what you're eligible for those premium tax credits, and then which plan would best fit the needs of you or your family.
So where can people go? Who can they contact to find out if they qualify or if they want to sign up or get help with this?
Well, for one, we have the Western Region for our enrollment network website that gives many of our different places, and not only in La Crosse County, but our eight-county consortium will give you the places depending on what city you live in or what is most beneficial or easiest for you to go to for one-on-one help. Or if just information, if they want to do it by paper or get online by themselves and do it. Many different places in our community that have that one-on-one help.
Is there any type of mass enrollment that's planned in the next few weeks?
Yes, we actually have our next mass enrollment in La Crosse County March 17th through the 22nd. And that will be at our administration building in the lower level. It's 400 North 4th Street. And we are open from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. And then we're also going to be opening on Saturday, because we've seen the need of people that are employed that just aren't able to make it during the week. So we've been trying to do one- or two-day evening and weekend events for people to be able to come in that are not able to make those Monday through Friday daytime hours. So we will have that open. It is no appointment necessary. Anybody and everybody can walk in, sit down, and do some one-on-one help with a certified application counselor. We'll be our volunteers that are certified application counselors, along with our some of our employees. So we welcome anybody and everybody. It's kind of our one last hurrah to get people in, get the word out. We'll definitely have some media coverage on it that people can come in and get that one-on-one help.
Are you expecting a large number?
You know, we're hoping. I mean, you know, we continually over through our eight counties, we've been continually doing mass enrollments where it's been great because all of our certified application counselors have been able to travel from one county to the other to help the other county do mass enrollments. So we've had a really fortunate between our volunteers and our certified application counselors through our eight counties, we've been able to pull all those people in so that we have a number of people here to do those one-on-one applications with people. And hopefully they don't have to wait for very long or they can get in right away. And with the website working better, we're able to get through it faster. And people are able to look and even possibly pick their plan that day, or if they want to take it home and study it and decide what they want to do, they can go back in and choose it at a later time.
And what is the website?
The website is www.healthcare.gov if somebody wants to do that on their own. Mm-hmm. Okay. I encourage people to go online to see what is available. And if you don't have an email address currently, if you're listening at home today, go to the public library and have somebody help you set up an email address because I think that's very important to start that process.
That's one of the things you have to have, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And you mentioned the regional website.
Yep.
Do you have that address where people can find out all the locations?
Absolutely. And that is www.lacrossecounty.org/human services/ACA.
Do you want to repeat that? That's kind of long.
Sure. It's www.lacrossecounty.org/human services/ACA.
And again, what is the date of the mass enrollment? When does that start and run through?
That will be March 17th. It's a Monday through Saturday, March 22nd.
And Mike, is Gunderson planning anything special other than making sure that you have people on board during your regular operating hours?
Yes, we've been trying to do some outreach with our patients. So when the patients come in and we've noticed that they're either uninsured or on Badger Care, they've been getting notification when they come into the front desk, just that changes are coming and be aware of them. And here are the resources that are available. Just trying to get the word out as much as possible with people, even in departments such as social work and some of the folks who may have come into the hospital and are looking for some assistance. We do have staff available that can help them.
Tricia, I know that you've had a large number of volunteers that you're working with, and you have some special individuals who dedicated some time to help to coordinate those volunteers. Who's been instrumental behind making that happen?
Mary and Peter Nelson have been a very large part of working with our community and volunteering their time and coordinating some of the volunteers. They've been an enormous amount of help that has been much appreciated, along with the rest of the volunteers that have put forth their time and their energy into just working with our communities. And we just can't tell them enough how much it's appreciated and how much collaboration we've had with the people in our area.
Now, we're not quite through, the 2013 enrollment that's gone into 2014. But I want you to think about 2015, next year at this kind of time. And, of course, that next enrollment period will start in November of 2014. What factors will impact the plans that are offered for 2015?
I think it's a little too early to tell. I think our health plan is going to monitor this. Again, this is the first time we've had a private insurance product out there. And I think we're also going to look at how this whole enrollment process has gone. I mean, I remember the first meeting that we had with in May. I called the county and I called Mayo and said, I think we need to meet on this. And less than a year later, we've been able to make some pretty good progress. So I think it's a time to digest after the March time period and try to figure out how we can we move forward from there, because I think we'll have a lot learned and that we can share with one another.
Most likely there will be changes.
It's hard to say. I mean, I'm going to defer that to our health plan folks who look at that. But I think from an enrollment standpoint, we might look at things a little bit differently because now these people are a little bit more educated on the topic. But and we're going to have a shorter window of time to get after mm-hmm. people. So it's going to probably start early.
Biggest lesson that has been learned in this last year?
Well, I think as a society, I think everybody needs to learn about it, insurance a little bit more. I mean, mm-hmm. we talk about the 90s being financial literacy. This is insurance literacy. And for many people, they've never had to worry about their insurance before because their employer provided it to them. This is different. And I think that's the biggest lesson learned is just the amount of knowledge on insurance. And I think from a community, we need to do a better job of educating.
What else would you like to have covered or shared?
We can't reiterate enough that people need to sign up. If you want to get your insurance by April 1st, you've got to get it by March 15th. And there are resources available, and just have to ask for help.
Absolutely.
Key reminder then, sign up by?
No, later than March 31st in order to meet the deadline. But if they want April 1st coverage, they need to sign up by March 15th.
Tricia Wavra, Dana Roble, and Michael Richards are all working to make sure as many people who are eligible for health insurance through the Affordable Care Act get signed up for it. They were interviewed by UW Extension Director for La Crosse County, Mary Meehan Stroob. People have until March 31st to sign up for health insurance that would start by May 1st of this year. If they miss the deadline, they'll have to buy private insurance or risk going without it until the next enrollment deadline in November, which will cover 2015. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Coming up next, we'll talk with a photographer behind an art exhibit on peace at Viterbo University this month. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. You'll also find links to places to sign up for health insurance or get more information about when and where you can get more help in signing up for health insurance in the Cooley region. Our site also has archives to other recent editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make a suggestion for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.